Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly joins us now. Commissioner, I appreciate it. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be with you, Brian.
First, it's the 20-year anniversary today of the first World Trade Center bombing. How are you commemorating it?
I'm working.
Keeping the city safe.
Well, hopefully, yes. That's what we're trying to do.
You were police commissioner then in the Dinkins administration. Were you surprised by the fact that it took place at all, or was the potential for that kind of terrorism and that as a potential target even then something that was on your radar?
You know, I can't honestly say it was on the radar. I think it was a surprise. We initially thought it was some sort of transformer that had exploded. During the day, we realized the size and scope of the explosion was such that it really had to be a bomb. But I must say it was a surprise. Should it have been? Probably not, based on things that, that could have been examined prior to that by federal and local officials. But we were not really prepared for that.
WNYC in those days was in the municipal building, which was maybe six blocks away, and people working there at the time said that they felt it even that far away, felt a little tremor. People say that 9/11 changed policing forever in New York City. Did that bombing at the World Trade Center really change it?
No. Yeah, it did not. It should have. As I say, it should have been a wake-up call, and it may very well have prevented the events of 9/11, but it didn't. And part of the reason, I believe, was the fact that the arrests were made so fast. 6 days after the bombing in 93, the first arrests were made. One of the individuals went back to get the deposit for the Ryder van that was used to transport the bomb. That was sort of interpreted by the media as being a sign of ineptness, when in fact the terrorists thought it would give them some sort of credibility that their van had been stolen and they were just going back to get the money that they had given to the car rental agency. But so then the other people were rolled up fairly quickly. And really, just 2 months after that, there was another plot that was broken up by federal officials. It was a plot against the United Nations, the tunnels, the Lincoln and Holland Tunnel, the federal building downtown. And so those two things were sort of packaged together, and it was almost like case closed. That's it. We're moving on to other things. Well, obviously, we didn't see that this was part of a worldwide ideological movement, really. And the assassination of Maya Kahane in 1991 should have also been a wake-up call for us. But I think, in retrospect, a lot more could have been done with that investigation that may have given us inroads into the 1993 bombing.
I read that Egypt's new government is interested in the release of Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman, who was considered a leader in that 1993 plot. Do you know if that's true, and do you care?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. No, it's been true for a while, not just the Morsi government, but there's a website. His family has a website, and this has been a demand or a cry that's been out there for quite a while. But, of course, the Mine Sheikh was the prime mover behind that, the 93 bombings, and he was tried and convicted for it.
Coming up to the present, of course, counterterrorism, you've made a core function of the NYPD since 9/11. I'm curious what you can say now about the new Freedom Tower and anything else that's going to be built on the site. Are you concerned that it will become a target again because it's now symbolic to certain kinds of terrorists?
Well, there's no question about it that the World Trade Center site is an iconic target that's been successfully attacked twice. So we have to be concerned about another attack in that area. We've deployed a lot of police officers working with the Port Authority at the new National Memorial site that location. But the building, certainly Tower 1 and Tower 4, have been built to extraordinary standards. And there is a campus security plan that will go into effect when those buildings are populated that we believe will be very effective. But there are no guarantees. Quite frankly, nobody thought about practically speaking, nobody thought about airplanes being crashed into those towers September 11th. So, there is the fact that we simply cannot predict or foresee everything that might happen. But the location itself will be very, very formidable, the whole 16-acre area, no question about it.
New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, my guest. And let me change the topic to guns, Commissioner. The Senate is beginning to debate new gun laws this week, as you know. What do you think is the most important part to New York City?
Well, I think it's important to understand that there is no magic answer, that there's no panacea. If you look at the Supreme Court case, District of Columbia versus Heller, that decision on part of the Supreme Court said that the Second Amendment is alive and well, that everyone, you and I, have a right to bear arms with some reasonable regulations. And we have 300 million guns out there in this country. So we're going to have a gun problem for a long time to come. Now, the proposals that were put forward, putting in the assault weapons ban, that has been labeled, reinstituting the assault weapons ban, that has been labeled even by its sponsors, Senator Dianne Feinstein, as being a very heavy lift in the Senate, let alone the House. So people are saying that there's a greater chance of the universal background checks being put in place. That would be some help. We're concerned about straw purchasers who purchase these guns mostly in other states, and somehow they mysteriously are stolen or disappear, and they show up on our streets. 90% of the guns that we confiscate here are coming from out of state. So the universal background checks may be of some help. I think stronger trafficking, anti-trafficking laws will be helpful. We'll see what ultimately makes its way through, through Congress. It is not an easy environment to work in. I worked in the federal government myself for a while. ATF used to report to me in the 90s. The NRA is a powerful force down there, no question about it. And we have different cultures in this country. The gun culture west of here is strong, and people who live in urban environments sometimes don't understand that. They think all guns are bad.
What would the most important anti-trafficking measures be?
Well, to increase the penalties. Right now, trafficking is seen almost as a clerical error, and the laws on the books, on the federal books, are minimal at best. I think we need a robust, clearly articulated anti-trafficking law for guns. If you are transporting guns across state lines, then you should be subject to significant penalties. That's not the case now.
The leader of the New York State NRA affiliate was on the program recently and said New York City does not enforce gun laws today aggressively enough, and so should do a better job before looking for new restrictions on law-abiding citizens. How would you describe the city's enforcement effort?
Well, last year we had the lowest number of murders that we've had in at least 52 years. Down to 418 was the final count. That in 1990 we had 2,245 murders. Last year was the lowest number of shootings that we've had in 22 years. And this year the trend is continuing. So I'm not certain what he's talking about. We think we're enforcing it. A lot of people think we are too aggressive, quite frankly. But New York is the safest big city in America, and we intend to keep it that way. But I think it's important to really understand that Heller case. You know, some people talk about, hey, we have to eliminate all guns or all handguns. That simply is not going to happen. That is a pipe dream. Guns are going to be with us for... a long time to come.
Indeed. That NRA leader, by the way, said he opposes stop and frisk in New York as unconstitutional. So pro-gun.
Well, I know. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to listen to the interview. I'm not certain what he's talking about.
Just one other thing on that. Critics say stop and frisk, aside from the constitutional arguments, is not even very effective as an anti-gun program, because if you stop 700,000 people and come up with, I think the number is 700 or 800 guns in a year, to confirm that, how effective is that?
Well, that's pretty naive. You know, just the potential of being stopped obviously has some impact. Now, we're doing something right here in New York City. I compared just recently the 11 years of the Bloomberg administration versus the preceding 11 years. During the Bloomberg administration, 11 years, we've had 7,346 fewer murders. Now, the vast majority of those lives saved are people, young people of color. That's who's shooting themselves on the streets, not only of this city, but other major cities throughout America. So, look, stop and frisk is not the be-all and end-all. It's not the panacea. But we believe it is a life-saving tactic. And you just look at the numbers. That's what's going on here. We're saving lives. And people don't want to, take this issue head-on. 96% of the shooting victims in this city are black or Latino. That's the reality. That's the reality. That's what New York City police officers deal with every day. And a lot of people just put their heads in the sand about this issue. So you look at those numbers, I think they're dramatic, and I think it underscores the fact that what's going on here in New York City is saving lives, and it's working.
Anything you're willing to say in our last 30 seconds to whoever the next mayor is about what you think it's important for them to preserve or continue from this administration?
Well, I think they should preserve our policies and practices as far as law enforcement concerned. We've had 16 plots against the city from terrorists. They haven't succeeded. We have the lowest number of murders that we've had, as I say, in 52 years. Crime is down to record lows. So things are working here. I would say don't disrupt the apple cart.
New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Brian. Bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.